Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and People's Choice Award winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. I wanted to say aloha, but we're not in Hawaii anymore.
No, we're not. We're not in Kansas City, Dorothy.
I don't think it was Kansas City. I think it was just Kansas.
Oh, Kansas.
And Dorothy says that line, so she wouldn't say it to Dorothy.
Shoot. Really.
She's talking in third person to herself.
Yeah.
According to Tanya's version.
Really messed that one up. But it's fine, because we're back in L.A.
We had a really fun episode last week in Hawaii.
We had a lot of scuttle about that episode. I have never received more texts, phone calls, messages,
tweets
about how much people were laughing. They said they were laughing the entire episode.
Now, the people who listen to this podcast at work in headphones had a really hard time with that episode.
So I have a new suggestion to implement.
Okay.
Barring everybody's agreement. Barring is
that the word? God,
boy,
I never know
today.
What you're saying.
That's the right word though, right?
We're like 1 minute into this podcast.
I'm suggesting we play Truth or Drink once a month on this.
Once a month?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. At 10 in the morning?
There's questions.
Say la vie, it's summer.
I'm for it.
Yeah, but we're just going to have to, the Facebook group's really going to have to
step
just
up.
Maybe it's for special occasions. Like, we're going to be doing the show more on the road or more, maybe it's with an audience or whatever. Like, I feel like we save it for special occasions. I think monthly it's going to get old.
You think so too?
Could.
We had a rain on my parade.
But I like, we should do it more. I think that's a good, solid vibe.
Yeah, or games in general. Yeah. I think that's a fun, you know, interactive situation. Sorry about that. It was really fun, though. You didn't drink as much as me, though. You had one drink.
No, but I was drinking during the whole episode. I was drinking rosé.
Yeah, not really. You were like, you had the microphone propped up with two hands on your stomach, leaned back. Yeah, you were not. Really. There was rarely a drink in your hand.
I didn't want to drink the rum, though. That's why I just answered everything.
I knew. I was like, I really need the Facebook group, if we're going to do it again, to really think of what Tanya would answer. Granted, she answered the biggest thing that's ever been in her, you know? I don't know what she wouldn't answer.
That was the biggest challenge for that game for Easton and I putting together the questions was, what's something Tanya would not want to answer? That's why we did that Kiss, Marry, Kill with the staff.
Like, yeah.
we're trying to make her uncomfortable because she's so comfortable doing anything.
I know.
And then, Becca, you presented your own challenges with some of these questions because we don't want to just drink every time. So we want something that she might answer. So it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Quite the process.
Yeah. Really is. That's why he's like, we can't do this every month. Yeah, a lot of work.
Yeah. Don't put me through that.
No, it was a fun episode. I felt like some of this stuff was stuff that was easy to answer, but then some it was, I could have, if I had just really let myself, I could have drank on every question.
I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah.
Because
that would have been fun, and I would have felt horrible the next day.
Yeah. But it also would have been like anticlimactic. It would have been
right.
Like, okay.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah. So Dean texted me and was like, you killed me. I thought of all people, he would not listen to this podcast.
Well, people probably told him.
Yeah,
he probably, no offense,
I thought he was like in Mexico right now.
I don't know anything about that.
I don't either. But I thought maybe he was. I had heard rumors that he was in Mexico. And so I thought it was a safe thing. So
see, that's why I couldn't kill any of my people.
So I don't know,
you guys are welcome,
if the rumors were wrong or what, but he heard it. That's all I know.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, we got a lot of questions, and we got some that I kind of set aside because I didn't think they were good truth or dare questions, but they're great conversational questions.
Oh,
would you like
okay.
to hear a few of those?
Yeah.
Like, for example, Delaney Clatterbuck has a question for Becca. Okay. And by the way, props on your name, Delaney Clatterbuck. That's a fantastic name.
Yeah,
would you give up fast food for let's say a year? You have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning every day or give up fast food for a year. What would you do?
I would give up fast food.
You would get up at, wait.
No, I would sleep in.
You'd sleep in.
But not eat fast food.
Okay, got it. Okay, good.
I feel like I'd look amazing. I'd be like healthy, well rested.
Tanya, you can only interact with two people for the next year. Who would you choose? You cannot interact with anyone other than these two people for an entire year.
That's hard. It'd probably be like, probably be Becca and Paulina.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. No parentals or anything?
But they're not. They're like
people.
Yeah, they are people. I was considering it more of like a friend question. But then, okay, my mom and my dad.
You might want to say Ryan and Sissany just for professional purposes.
Well, I can only choose two. Ryan and my mom?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What about Becca?
Well, it's okay. I can live a year. I'm just saying, like, I could sacrifice you for a year if you needed to keep your job with Ryan and your moms are important. I was just saying, I'd sacrifice needing to be one of the people.
I don't want you to sacrifice that.
I'm pissed that you didn't choose me.
Yeah.
I'm upset.
Go. That's what I need from you.
I am so angry.
Yes.
Okay. This is a thoughtful question from Amy Matajek. What was your original expectation for this podcast and how has it changed? How have your expectations changed over time and how has this podcast changed you?
Wow.
I mean, my original, like, what I expected from the podcast was just another outlet to, like, talk and talk about my life. And originally Tanya wasn't on it. So my thing was just like, oh, this is fun. I enjoy talking, but it was a lot more fun once Tanya came on. And it's totally changed my life. I think it's really put into perspective that there's so many amazing people out there and how many people value friendship and like kindness to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, it was like I was just filling in for helping Becca for mm-hmm. a week. And then it just turned into being a full-time part of it. And I think that it really has opened my eyes to how much people, I guess I never realized how much people yearn for friendship and have a hard time making friends. And like, when we're together, I get so many messages about how, like, I wish I had a friend that I could travel with, or I wish I had a friend that would, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. and I guess I never realized that because I do have such good friendships in my life. Mm-hmm. So that's been really eye-opening. And I think being able to like create just this community and just like we're creating sisterhoods across the country with people that I've never met before. Like it's really special and it's really cool. And I just hope it continues to grow and grow and grow and people can have the community where they don't feel judged or and they can just be themselves, you know?
That's the kind of thing you never would have thought of, that people around the country would be getting together to talk about you guys and meeting through this podcast.
Yeah.
I would not have anticipated
Scrub
that.
Scrub Sisters.
And that there's, what, 22,000 people in the Facebook group.
Yeah.
This is a great question. I love this question. It's from Christina Ostrander. What would you do if you were the opposite sex for 48 hours? It's a fun one, right? It's not a good truth or dare question, but it's a fun discussion.
Yeah.
You're a guy for the next 48 hours. What are you going to do?
I would definitely, like, play with my wiener. Like
just for 48 hours?
For the whole 48 hours. I would whip it around.
It could be done.
I'd see what it could do. I'd pee. Like I'd pee as much as I can. Stand up, sit down.
Distance.
Yeah. See how far I can. See if I can write my name on a wall. That's what I would do. No.
I like don't even know what. Play with my wiener.
Yeah. Whip it around, see what it looks like in pants.
You wouldn't do that, Becca?
I would probably, honestly, like, for a certain amount of time, probably. But I don't think the whole 48 hours, that would be my focus.
You'd be surprised.
What do you
what
know?
You
what do you know that
else
I don't
you could
know?
Do with it?
I don't know. What can y'all, if y'all have answers for this, if you were the opposite sex for 48 hours, what would you do?
If we were women,
yeah,
that's similar, I think. Just play with the parts that we don't already have.
Yeah, like your boobs.
Yeah.
Just like see what
like,
they can do.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Wow, how cool.
Wear a bra, see what
yeah.
that feels like.
Right.
Yeah.
Y'all,
let me try
aren't,
running
y'all aren't
with
doing
them.
Anything.
I hear it hurts to run. Let me try that.
Yeah.
I'd see if I could flirt my way into more things than I am as a man. I feel like I could get into some free movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd be more comfortable in my thong underpants.
What's that thing that's that people like make videos of slime or what's that thing? I'd put my wiener in slime.
Oh my god!
I just like put it in different things. Like
Tanya's weird fantasies. Like this is not coming out of nowhere, you guys.
I've thought about this question before. No, that's probably what I would do though.
I'm trying to think like of other things, but like for some reason that's the only thing I can think of.
It's yeah, like, what like else kick it, because you know guys are like, "That's the worst pain ever." Like I guarantee it's not the worst pain ever.
I don't think I want to do that though.
I don't think it compares to childbirth, but it's pretty painful.
Mm, we'll see about that when I have mine.
But you're right. Men have no pain threshold. So for us, it's the worst pain imaginable.
Yeah.
But that's all we got.
Right.
So who knows? The other weird thing is that there's a delay sometimes.
Like how long?
Like if it gets grazed, you kind of have to sit there and go, did that connect? Is that, it did. And then you go down.
Oh. Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's weird.
Yeah. And I'd also want to see how hard I could get it by my thoughts. Like, that's like a superpower, I feel like.
So without touching it,
yeah,
just pure imagination,
yeah.
What can you do?
The penis really fascinates me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so fascinated by it.
Yeah.
I obviously need a boyfriend because I just really, I enjoy, like, it's funny that we had that whole Facebook thread about like giving head, because it was always my mission to like, how can I do it better? How can I make it faster? How can I make it different? Like, you know what I mean? Like I was always
so
trying
to, Tanya.
Totally. Like it was like a game to me. Sick.
But you quit.
I quit.
So
how's your quitting?
It's going freaking great. First of all, but I realize I need to name it something different.
Yeah, because there was some confusion over the I quit.
I quit has a negative connotation, and I feel like what I'm doing is more surrendering. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it just needs a new word.
I surrender?
Surrender, I think, is good.
That could be negative, too, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's okay.
Surrender is definitely better.
Better than quit.
Quit.
Yeah. Or like, I'm giving up.
Right, like, because I'm not giving up. Like, right, I'm still open. Right. I'm just like not... making it my objective with every conversation.
Do we have any updates with the D, Mr.
Oh, you said on last week's podcast that there is an update.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that I wanted to share because here's the thing. So where we left off, I got ghosted and I was just like, that's it. I'm done. Right?
Yeah.
Well, whilst in Hawaii, Becca and I imbibed a little and I was talking to her about it and I was like, this
just so you know, we drank a little.
Yeah.
When she says imbibed.
People know what that means, right?
I never knew until you were saying it.
Oh, really?
I never heard it.
Word of the week. See what teaches you new things.
We're going to hear it 50 times.
And I was like, I just don't feel that as though this is in his character. Like something just seemed so off about it.
Because the last you'd gotten from him was a picture, a random picture.
But we had made plans
a week earlier. Yeah. Right.
And it just seemed out of character. And yeah, it was still new, but it just seemed like something that this guy wouldn't do. And so I was just like talking to Becca and saying how I just had such a hard time with it. And I said, you know, I want to reach out. I need to just put a button on this. It's going to eat at me. So we came up with, this is more Becca's doing than mine. Thank God I went with the suggestion because it was brilliant. I said, full disclosure, that's like our thing. Are you alive? And it was perfect.
First of all,
full disclosure, are you alive?
Yeah. She had, when we got to Hawaii, she emphasized the photo he sent her. So you get alerted.
Oh,
you know.
We talked about you doing that.
Yeah, just
and
to
you
be
it.
Like, meh, yeah.
And he.
You put an exclamation point next
yes,
to it.
Yes.
He did not respond.
Did not.
So then she said, full disclosure, are you alive?
Yeah. And I got a response.
And?
He thought I had written him off. It was a total miscommunication. And
the fact that you didn't respond to the picture originally.
Yeah. And because we'd gone like a week without talking. So he's just like, oh, you know, I think guys are just more simple. He was probably like, oh, she just is over.
You are simple creatures.
Yeah. And it made more sense. Like I thought this makes me feel better about the situation. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
I
still wish guys would just step up.
Totally.
But okay.
But it made me feel not as, I felt so crummy after that, like really, really bad. It made me have like a sense of closure and peace. And like, I feel just like good.
Wait, closure? It sounds like it's still open.
I mean,
But
here's the thing. It's not like it hasn't gone anywhere. I'm not like holding
number
anything.
Number 3 has not been scheduled.
No, and it might not, but I'm okay with it. I'm totally
no,
I'm
but if
good.
He does, are you saying yes?
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know.
You got to take it as it comes. I get that. It's not an automatic
gotta
yes.
Got to just live.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah.
So, but it just felt good because it was something that was like eating away at me.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. So I feel good that I just know that it was a miscommunication and like it was what it was. And now I can like move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Surrendering.
Mm. There you go.
All right. It's a holiday when a cast member of Grey's Anatomy comes to our podcast.
Yeah.
And it's like a major holiday. It's like a no school, no work kind of a holiday when it's an OG cast member.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have O'Malley in the building today.
George O'Malley.
So
do we go with him? Like, do we go in hard with our fandom or do we like chill it out?
I just don't think I can chill it out, honestly. Because like this is our chance, you know, to be nerds.
You know what we need to do? We need to get in his good graces so that he like tells other Grey's cast members like, oh, this is a cool
thing. Do you think he's still in touch with some of them?
I feel like he is.
Wasn't he at Katherine Heigl's wedding?
I think he was in the wedding.
Yeah.
Okay. That'd be great. Yeah.
I feel like I'm just excited. I hope he wants to talk about it and we don't annoy him. You know, like when people have moved on from things, mm-hmm. but they can't escape
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm. Like poor Jennifer Aniston, who's still talking about Friends. She's like, I've had quite the career since then, but you guys are still talking to me about Jennifer
she's
Green.
She's making the legacy. 8 figures a year off of Friends still, so I think she's got to get
by
over
the
be happy
way,
to talk about it. Yes?
That show, it's still, I've watched every episode.
Can I tell the story? So on the way back from Hawaii, we were separated. Truly unfortunate. Tanya and I were not sitting next to each other.
Yeah, Becca was real bummed about that.
Tanya's very needy on flights, I found out, on this trip. But anyways, she was sitting next to this couple, and when we sat down in our seats, I was like, all right, take care of her. She needs lots of attention and wants to talk. So at one point, I get up to go to the bathroom, because the whole time I'd had headphones on, like listening to music and watching movies, and I walk by, and Tanya's you know how loud her laugh is? Laughing out loud, like hysterically. And I'm like, oh God, these poor people next to her. So afterwards, I was like, what were you watching?
Was it kind of like this?
Yes. Literally, and like, oh, if anyone doesn't have their headphones on, they're upset.
So you're on your phone, you get that ambient yeah. note, that's what you're hearing.
And she was like, I was watching Friends. I was like,
oh my, she wasn't talking to anyone, she was just watching
she
Friends.
Had her earphones yeah. in laughing like that.
Oh my God.
Yeah, just watching Friends. That show just could just, it brings it every time.
I mean, that is so good.
It really is. It really is.
Yeah, so I don't know what we're, I'm going in hard with the fan questions.
Okay, all right.
All right, well, he's here, so shall we?
We shall.
Yeah, let's bring him in. You know we get excited when we have anyone from our beloved Grey's Anatomy. We have an OG cast member
in the
building today. We have T.R. Knight.
Hey! Thank you.
A.K.A. George Thank O'Malley.
You. Hall of Famer.
I mean...
I like the OG.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, there's been a lot of characters that have come through.
Tons.
So an OG is like a... That's a special
well, thank
place
you.
To
that's
be.
That's very sweet. Thanks for the... Welcome.
Oh no, this is I'm trying to be cool, but like fully inside having a moment. Like who's somebody that you just are obsessed with? Do you have somebody?
I think like other actors.
Yeah,
like
a show or something
that meet like Oprah.
Like
yeah, essentially it's like meeting Oprah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
That's you're lying to me.
I'm not
We've
lying
just
to
met.
You.
It's not like Oprah. Nobody's like only Oprah is like Oprah. President Oprah. In
Not
my
really.
World.
Not
In
really,
my
though.
Because,
like, I still, no. and I stand by this, like, even till this day, season 15, Denny and Izzy are still two of my favorite characters.
Oh, that's sweet.
And they're, like, OG, too.
But we need to talk, having another cast member on here, maybe he can side
maybe
with
he can
me.
Side with me.
Uh-oh. What's wrong?
The Denny and Izzy storyline was powerful, and it was great. However... She tries to compare it to the deaths of the characters from like the
well,
like,
Becca likes Meredith and Derek. Becca's very Meryn Darren. I'm like, he was like,
she's trying to compare the death of like McDreamy to Denny. It's just, it was a different level.
Oh,
you can see what I'm saying?
But he was on quite a bit, wasn't he? My memory is so bad that I do remember being on it myself. But no, I remember Jeffrey being on a lot. Was he? It wasn't. It was more than one season, wasn't it?
It was. Well, yeah, I think it was like a ghost.
Yeah.
Because
everybody was so upset.
The ghost, and there was some ghost hanky panky.
Yeah, yeah. There was some weird stuff.
Let's not talk about that. Yeah, yeah. We've just met. Let's.
You had. Can I be honest with you? I get upset when we talk about your death. Like, I kind of brush over it because I think that was the start of me being bitter about all the deaths that were to come. Like, that was the first time where I was like, wait, what? This isn't how it's supposed to. This isn't right. Like, he's part of my life. So, like, for him to just get hit by a bus and go like that, and then it just happened season after
season. But in
such
a chivalrous way.
Yeah, but, like, he could have lived.
But yeah, well, were you happy with your character? I thought that was actually a pretty cool way.
Yeah.
You were gone from the show, so it was kind of up to them, like, how do we do this?
No, I thought it was... For me, just personally, it started my this fascination with prosthetics because that was the first time I'd ever had prosthetics on. And it was like 7 hours to get that rig on because he was like not only hit by the bus, but kind of like dragged on his face for a while.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how long, but enough to make it look kind of meatloafy. And the guy who did it. Well, the entire team was amazing, but the guy who actually applied it that day worked for Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
And so I was just nerding out, and like as long as I could talk, I was asking him questions, and I just found it fascinating. And luckily, I've been able to do prosthetics since then, and I just it's one of the most fascinating things to do because it's kind of melding like acting and puppetry, and it's just fascinating.
It's like
to
art
me. But I think what I really love about the, and I think I've talked about this before, but what I really loved about the death was the elevator scene. That was the end of it, right?
Yeah.
So the elevator scene, so Izzy is going up the elevator and that elevator door is open. The way we filmed it, Jeffrey was on the other side of the elevator. So that's how we filmed it. And so Jeffrey Dean, you know, was on the other side. And then I got a call like a day or two, maybe it was the day after we shot filming, again, my memory, but they said, we'd like you to come back and do a secret filming. And it was just like a very bare bones kind of crew. Maybe there was like four people there. Oh. And I was on the other side of the, so they wanted that to kind of be a reveal. But I had just shaved my head because I thought I was done. So I had shaved all my head off. So it was Shonda's brilliant idea to all of a sudden put him in the army dress uniform.
Wow.
So it became kind of like, you know, the vision of, you know, what he wanted to be, what he had hoped to, you know, have been. So it was just kind of like a series of accidents. But then Shonda's a brilliant mind to all of a sudden make him, you know, I don't know how to exactly describe it, but make him like the man he wanted to be, who he aspired to be. Because what I loved about George is that he just kept on making mistake after mistake after mistake. And he wasn't necessarily a good person. He wanted to be a good person, but he really wasn't a good person. He kind of held grudges. He kind of was, you know, kind of a little martyr syndrome a little bit in there. But ultimately, I think he wanted to be better. He wanted to do good. And that's what I loved playing, because that's like, you know, I just think that was exciting. So it was nice to have that kind of like, whoever's image that was, if that was Izzy's or if it was some other world, that kind of, you know, that he made it somehow.
I felt like it was our, I mean, I remember watching watching it and thinking, oh, that's what it gave you, like this sense of peace of like, oh, that's how we will remember him and his like military, like what he was like leaving to go do
when he
got hit.
Yeah. I thought that was...
It was a heroic ending.
For me, it was moving.
Yeah.
For me, yeah. And it is moving, I think.
It's so crazy to me as like... Because you're just like a human, you know? Like, we're all just humans.
Yep.
And as an actor, you take on this role of just like a character. Mm-hmm. And you... Like, to me, it's so hard to like differentiate the person and the character.
Right,
but you're playing something that's so not you.
Yeah, but I mean, I think there's, in any role, it just, you know, certain roles are closer, or certain roles you bring yourself,
right.
You can bring yourself to more. I think, you know, I think there's a certain aspect when we started that we spent a lot of time. Unfortunately, Justin wasn't with us because he wasn't in the pilot. We added him later.
I just found that out, by the way.
So happily he was. But so I think, you know, we did. Peter Horton was the director and Shonda and, you know, the interns. We spent time together. And I think that was kind of, you know, I think certain parts of our personality, I hope not the bad parts, but, you know, I think she used, I think so. I think incorporated that or in some or was a jumping off point at some point because we spent a lot of time talking. I just remember talking in a group, you know, Peter had us do exercises. It was all very kind of like worked great for my kind of nerdy actor brain. I was coming from the theater. So I was like, trust exercises.
Yeah.
I love this.
I would enjoy
you
that
know,
too.
I love, and it doesn't exist. I've never experienced it after that at all. So, in the, you know, Hollywood kind of world.
Right.
So, I was very happy to have it because I was very much a fish out of water and, or felt like that. But to be honest, I still feel like that. It's kind of like a daily wake up kind of occurrence. So, so it was nice to have that kind of, you know, kind of quiet lead into this because we didn't know what we were doing, or I didn't know what we were doing. We certainly didn't know what was going to happen with the show.
Did you, you know how the, I don't even know if you know this or this is like creepy fan stuff, but the interns, original interns, first initial spelled Magic, Meredith, Alex, George, Izzy, Christina.
That's really cool.
So embarrassing.
That's well, you didn't make that up, though.
No, I read that on like a
braceback.com
or something.
And she's like blaming it on the, yeah,
so
I
I'm
found
the G.
it online.
You're
or
the
George
G.
Is
you're
the G.
Yeah.
Aw, that's sweet. That's very sweet. I don't judge any of the that what you call creepy stuff because like I have that if I'm like anything like Star Wars or Muppets especially in my mind Laika, you know the claymation not the claymation but the stop motion animation studio like all that kind of stuff that's like I'm basically a stalker for that kind
oh
of stuff.
Dang I'm
so
actually
I mean so,
so
that's like my
I'm pissed we didn't wear our scrubs
I know I almost suggested it but I was like I get nervous in front of like the great members that they're gonna be
you know
like,
would have been really uncomfortable if I would have been wearing that. Like I just can't get over it I'm like hi guys
we went to
what? Why are you looking at me
we
like
went
that?
To Paley Fest a couple years ago and we were like press so we were like on the press line but
yeah, yeah.
I don't know
and
who
were,
let us on the press
yeah,
line
we were in our scrubs doing the interviews and some of the Grey's Anatomy cast members were like that's awesome and we're like so down and then some of the other ones were like who are
they avoided us.
Oh no
yeah. So it's really hit or miss but I feel like you'd be down
yes I would
yeah
you'd like appreciate it respect.
Yeah for sure
someone just posted this so we have a Facebook group for the podcast and they're like you know a lot of them are huge Grey's Anatomy fans and this someone posted a meme today and it says some of y'all never stayed up till 5 a.m. bawling over George O'Malley's death and it shows like they like didn't experience the like pain.
Right, we were there. We went through that.
Right.
Yeah. Some people are jumping on the bandwagon now.
And like the comments are like by far the most emotional episode for me. My husband came in the room and thought one of my family members had died because I was crying so hard.
Oh no.
I mean, it affected people.
Yeah, it affected me. I was not the same.
It's good writing.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Are you still close with any of the any of
yeah,
the
I just went over, my husband and I just went over to Ellen's place. We had dinner over there like a couple weeks ago.
Happy. Wow.
Kate, we just moved back. My husband, well, my husband's never lived here, but I used to because I was, but after Grey's, I moved back to New York where I was before. So we just moved back here 2 years ago. And then Kate Walsh, like a month before, moved to New York. So I think she's avoiding me, but no, but we hang out too. So her and Peebers too, or Justin, but I call him Peebers.
Justin Chambers? You call him Peebers?
Peebers.
What?
And he's probably going to hate this, but I'm going to do it because I like it.
Wait, this
because
makes me
he's,
so happy.
It's the shortened version of Pretty Baby.
Oh.
So Pretty Baby is Peeper Bieber.
Oh.
So, and he hated being called Pretty Baby or Peeper Bieber. So you just, you know. You call him that all the more.
Yeah.
You know, because he used
nickname?
To be a model.
Was that your
no,
nickname
I'm not
for
a pretty
everyone?
Baby. No, just him. Just him.
No, but like, were you the only one who called him that, or is that like a cast thing?
I don't, probably maybe some other people did too, but I don't know. I probably did it the more most obnoxiously. Is that the way you say
yeah,
that?
Obnoxiously?
Yeah, obnoxiously. Yeah.
Wait, that makes me so happy.
He's brilliant, and his wife is brilliant, and his kids are brilliant. They're graduate. Two have just graduated, I think, recently. Like, I think like a month. This month.
I know. Five kids?
Yeah.
Five total, yeah.
Yeah, wow. He's one of those guys that plays kind of a, you know, jerk on TV, but is the nicest guy in real life. I love guys like that.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's a good,
he was one of the nice ones on the Paley Fest carpet.
Oh, yeah. He enjoyed the scrubs for sure.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. He's so much cooler than I can ever hope to be. His youngest, Jackson, was five, was cooler than I'll ever be. But, and they're just getting more and more cool. I mean, just because, you know, you end up, because of like the Instagram, you end up seeing, you know,
the Instagram.
I'm 90, just, you know. But you end up seeing, and it's just like, I don't know. Anyway, they're just amazing. They're amazing. Was it Maya and Kayla? Oh my God, my brain. Yes, they sang at our wedding, actually. And it was just we didn't end up filming or videotaping anyone who sang at our wedding. We have a bunch of our friends who are talented sing, and I wish we would have, but it's okay because it just exists in my brain. And
yeah.
It's a very special moment. And they were, I mean, even then they were like, I don't know. Yeah. They're just amazing.
Can I tell you something that's so strange and weird? No, I really like your ring. Like, it just looks very like just chic, and just, I'm really like it a lot.
Oh, thanks. It's my wedding ring. She's referring to. It's old, actually. I got it at an old like a flea market kind of shop, because my husband had a ring that had been in his family for like three generations. So like I think it's about three generations. I think the first inscription is like from 1909.
Oh, wow.
And then it went to another couple. I don't know what happened. I mean, I guess once they. So we're the third couple on his ring. Oh, and so I didn't have that because, let's just say, there weren't as successful marriages in my side of the family. And there was no ring. And so, yeah, I just got mine at an old shop. And so it's like from the, I don't know, like from the 1940s, let's say.
I love it.
Thank you, though.
How did you and your husband meet?
That was my question.
I knew that was
at my friend's birthday party. Do you know Bridget Everett?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
She's, anyway.
Actor?
You should, she's amazing. She's a singer and an actor.
Okay.
And she and also a friend, Zach. Bridget Everett and Zach Schaefer had they have birthdays like three days apart. So they had a joint birthday in New York. I was visiting, and, you know, they knew Patrick as well, and I didn't at the time. And so, yeah, we met.
They just
there.
Made an intro, just like
we met. We met that night.
There you go.
So it was nice because then it's like that? You're like vetted. It's like,
yeah.
Well, I don't know what they said about me to him, but I know they said very nice things about him to me.
That's awesome.
I'm sure it went both ways.
I don't know. I don't know. They probably were like, are you sure?
They're like,
it's a lot to put up with, that one.
Well, anyway. I know.
Sorry, I interrupted you. What did you say?
No, I asked how long ago that was, the show met.
Oh, 2010.
That's 9 years ago.
Yeah. And we got married in 2013. I'm bad with math, so that was really good.
smart one over here.
There you go.
Yeah.
We could bother you with Grey's Anatomy questions all day, but we do want to talk about the new series that you have coming out.
Oh, the Hulu series. Yeah.
It's called The Bravest Knight, right?
The Bravest Knight, yeah.
Who Ever Lived, but it's based off a book, The Bravest Knight Who Ever Lived.
That's the full title of the book, but this the animated series is just called The Bravest Knight.
And it's like kind of a really kind of a groundbreaking cartoon, in the sense it's based on a character who had, there's two dads. Is that the?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two dads. Yeah. It's the little girl, and it's played by Storm Reid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wrinkle in Time. And then she's now in Euphoria, who I just was doing an interview with her today. I guess Euphoria started last night.
Oh, I heard
on
it.
HBO.
Yeah, I
can't wait to see it.
Yeah,
and then she's also in When They See Us.
Oh,
anyway, she's remarkable. She's amazing. And what was really cool is because my dream, again, I remember the nerd part I was talking about earlier, was to also do a voice do a voice in animation. That's not how people talk.
No, that's, I get it.
But you know what I mean. Yeah, that's it. Do the voice. So I did the voice. I finally got to do a voice. And that's,
and this is
so
it.
I'm really excited about it because anyway, and then also what was really cool is because a lot of time from my stalking, I have seen from watching those, you know, the special features in the DVD mm-hmm. ad nauseum. It's like that a lot of times people record them by themselves, their own stuff. And then you go and yeah. they animate it. But I got to do all of, we got to do all our scenes together. So I got to be in the little studio with her. And that was really exciting to be able to actually.
This is like really cool that there's like a, it's like a kid's series mm-hmm. that is doing, has two dads. And like, it's, I don't have children yet, sans yes. kids, yes. but I have a niece and a nephew. And sans, it's my word of the week.
Yep.
It's and good. It's a good one. My sister, she loves Frozen because it's not the love of a prince that saves her. It's the love between her sister and her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so it's kind of changing these like old, you know, these ways that we used to see cartoons and these love stories and kind of changing the dynamic of like how we see families and families, everything looks different now.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
And it has for so long.
Yeah.
It's just,
but it's not,
we
depicted
don't see
in,
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In Hollywood.
And I didn't see it growing up and that's what, you know, and I think that there's no question that that affects someone. And not to go too dark, but it's like, you know, you know, the Trevor Project and mm-hmm. they just released the report of, you know, the suicide rates in kids. And I just think it's, you know, it's all about representation. I think we're changing a lot in mm-hmm. every mm-hmm. aspect, whether it be, you know, about gender or sexuality or race. I think things are starting. It's an exciting time
yeah.
to see it because mm-hmm. it seems like there's, and I don't know if it's like the what's going on in politics today, but I think it almost feels like a rebellion against that. Mm-hmm. And it's like I think there is a real hunger to see the world as it is mm-hmm. and not pretend it's something else, some, you know, bigoted kind of racist world.
That's it, right? That's that the blonde character. Is
that's
your
it.
Character?
The blonde.
He's holding hands with his husband, the and then that's your daughter. That
yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a Storm with the little. Starfish in her hand.
Oh, that's
great.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great because the show is not about the fact that there's a gay knight, right? The show is just about knights who happen to be married. Like,
that'd be a boring.
I think it would.
No, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like because once you get that information, that's it's done.
Right, right.
There's not much.
It is what it
you
is.
Know, no, but I think I liken it to like Sesame Street. Mm-hmm. I grew up watching that, mm-hmm. and it, you know, those lessons that it taught about. And what was exciting about that, you know, it was set in a city. So you got, you know, it wasn't all just one race. It was, you saw a world where people were different and people, had to learn how to get along and they hid it very well in these stories with these little cloth Muppets. And it was really beautiful. And I think it's the same kind of idea. It's right. The whole idea is to their, you know, this character, the, older Cedric. The old Cedric is who I play, is teaching, you know, trying to teach his daughter lessons. A lot of times, you know, she's a lot craftier and a lot smarter than he is. But these are, you know, the lessons of friendship and being true to your word and all these kind of like just values. That's what he's trying to do. And it's kind of hidden in this, you know, how to be a brave knight.
Right. You know. I was reading my daughter, who is 10, a book the other day, and it was about a girl, and she goes on some trip or whatever.
Right.
And very, very incidentally to the story, she had two interracial gay fathers.
Okay.
And I thought, that's where change really starts to happen,
yeah.
is when it's in the background almost. It's just mm-hmm. normal. There's yeah. no need to draw attention mm-hmm. to it because it just is.
Yeah.
Right.
That's progress, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
It's just about seeing yourself and about seeing, you know, because... Yeah, I mean, things are changing. Things are changing now. Storm just had a great comment about how she thinks her generation is much more accepting in it. And
oh, for sure.
And it's so, and it just kind of hit me because, you know, you go, first of all, you go, oh God, well, how many generations older am I than her? You go, okay, yeah, you're just getting old. That's it. So, and it's just like, but it's also beautiful because it's like, I don't, because it's not if you buy the false script that was sold to me when I was younger, about what it means to be gay. And you can, you know, that can be to anything. I think that there's a lot of correlation to that in life, but, you know, nobody should have to buy that script. Nobody mm-hmm. should have to, because it's bullpucky, as Rachel Maddow would say, but I don't know if you can say, can you say S-H-I-T?
No, we'd bleep you.
Okay. Well, yeah, I didn't say it, so you don't have to bleep me. Bullpucky. So it's, we're so behind as far as representation everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's just it's an exciting, I'm excited by what I'm starting to see more and more on the Netflix and all that. Yeah. It's just like, it's not too late, I won't say, but it feels too late. But it also feels exciting, yeah. If that makes sense. Does totally. That make sense? You know what I mean?
I hope, like, this generation does change the world, because we were all let down by the hippies. They all bailed on that whole thing. So I'm hoping that this is the one. Yeah. This is the generation that makes a difference.
I hope so. It'd be nice to see. I can't, it excites me, especially in this kind of, you know, political climate currently. It's mm-hmm. just like, it excites me. That's where kind of like, that's, you know, that's just so depressing. You know, to wake up and to see, you know, what has been said in the news and what is the, you know, what ban is now being enacted. And you just feel like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're just like, it's like, you know, this, you're slipping back in the
time
sand.
Warp.
Yeah. And
wouldn't that be great if that's the legacy of this era, is that this younger generation is so horrified by it that they actually do something
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's, we all have to endure this
yeah.
to get to the positive things that are in the future because of it.
Yeah. And the whole idea of being so connected, with our phones and the internet and all that, that's something that I didn't have mm-hmm. growing up.
The Instagram.
So the Instagram. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know. It's true. But so it's, you know, so I think that also helps mm-hmm. because you can't, you know, lies are harder to stay. It's just harder to have them stay lies,
true.
You know. Anyway, sorry to
salad. It's true. And it is very important. And it's like, the fact that we're talking about it on a, like, you know, animated series is, I think that's like Mark said, that's where the change is happening. So
what age group is this? If, you know, if there's parents listening, what age group is really going to groove on The Bravest Knight?
I think they're only 12 minute episodes.
Oh, wow.
So I think it's anyone for a short attention span.
Yes.
So like it would three be, up.
There it's, I don't know technically, because I'm not part of the marketing mm-hmm. area, and I'm mm-hmm. so bad at the selling aspect, so I suppose I should know it. But it's, you know, it's about, you know, this little girl and her adventures, I'm just gonna leave it at that. Okay. And I think that's just really exciting. I personally like it, but again, you know, anything that has a Muppet in it, I'm just like, I already have it memorized.
Wow.
Yep. Nerd.
And if you and Patrick have kids someday, how perfect that
yeah.
you've got this
yeah.
for them.
I don't know. I'm getting a little long in the tooth for that. I am. And that might have sadly passed me by, but I don't know. We'll see.
Well, what's long in the tooth mean? Is that a
old.
Saying? Oh, okay.
Old.
I've never heard that before.
No, I haven't either, but I just went. I based it on what we were talking about.
Yeah, I don't do that.
No, that's
clues.
Okay. That's okay.
I just like to be informed, you know, sans questions.
Sans information. Teeth.
Yeah. I just looked it
long
up.
In the teeth. Long.
When horses get older, their gums recede and their teeth appear longer, and that's the origin of long in the tooth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, before you go, because you
no,
have been.
Yeah, I have a few questions. But what are you going
to
say?
Oh, I wanted some like rapid fire, like just like a couple things and like whatever comes to your mind.
Uh oh.
Grays related.
Okay.
Okay. So do maybe we ping pong?
Yeah, go ahead.
Like I ping, you pong. Mm-hmm. Okay, so just like whatever comes to your head.
Okay. And are these one word answers or is it just?
Can be.
Can be.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not a rule.
No.
No.
Okay.
We just made this game up.
Okay. Yeah,
sans rules.
Yeah.
Okay. Who did, on the set of Grey's, who did you learn the most life lessons from?
Chandra Wilson. No question about it. I still do.
You're still friends with Chandra.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's one of those people that I think, who was it? I'm sure I didn't come up with this. Probably it was Sandra Oh, because she's smarter than I am. But I think it was Sandra that we would talk about how Chandra is, she's like almost ready to become just light. That she is somehow so elevated. And she should teach classes because I would, I mean.
She's Bailey.
Yeah. I mean,
she has that like feeling of like.
In a kinder way. She's Bailey. But
she
yeah.
was super nice to us when we
went our scrubs. Yeah.
She was she's an amazing person.
Mine's not as heartfelt, but if you had to choose someone that you were on set with for George to end up with romantically, who would you have chosen?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I think that,
girl on the bus.
The girl on the bus.
She was desperate.
Oh, the girl that I saved. Yeah. I don't know because I don't know if that. You know what? Because, okay, so if he didn't die, right?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think this through. Because he had such. Because he was so. I don't know. Because who would he have become? Would he have finally learned stuff or would he still just be failing and falling on his face? Because if he'd still be failing and falling on his face, that's kind of one route. But if he like actually kind of like
stepped up,
grew up.
Let's go grew up version.
If he grew up and stuff, wouldn't it be cool to see if Meredith and he would work in like if he was actually like a grown up instead of this like child still
into it?
I only agree to that if this is post McDreamy dying.
Of course, I'm so sorry. I wouldn't dream of it.
For your loss.
But that's was that a. I'm so sorry.
So you're at the doctor's office and you have to fill out your emergency contact right and you can now? Only choose from Gray's cast members. Who would you choose to be your emergency contact?
Good one, Tanya.
Thank you.
That is good. I mean, Chandra again? I think I would have
No, you can't reuse.
I can't reuse.
New role.
Ellen, then.
Okay. Good choice.
Sounds like a good one.
Yeah.
Pompeo.
Yeah. Wow.
Who made you laugh the most on set?
We all laugh. I mean, those us five when you got us together. Mm-hmm. It's a collective. I hope that doesn't sound like a cheat, but
no.
We didn't. I didn't laugh as hard when we were all together, and just we were five such very different people, and just kind of nuts, and we were just and. I think probably the crew wasn't as, you know, didn't find it as funny as we did. But I just remember getting in a lot of trouble from laughing so much when we were all together.
You know what? You could feel that.
Like really?
Oh my gosh. Like you really could feel it through the screen. Like,
I love watching the... Oh.
Yeah.
It was magic.
It was. Like, magic. We obviously still love it now. And we'll watch it till the day that it's done. But it was a way different...
In 20 years.
Yeah. It was a way different energy in the beginning for sure. Better.
I can't.
I'm not just saying that because you're here. I'm just saying that. Like,
he's like,
I haven't watched it since I got killed off.
Yeah,
I'm just saying general.
And then you just say that to the next person.
No. I think I even told when we had Camilla in here. I always get nervous when I say her name, even though I fully know it.
Camilla. Yeah.
Like, I enjoy Camilla a lot, but I'm like, the OG is like where it's at.
Do you know Camilla is the name of the hen that Gonzo loved in the Muppet Show?
It always comes back to the puppet.
Just
huh?
So you know. Wow. In case she comes on again, you might want to ask her. Yeah. Maybe she knows about that.
She did say she wanted to come back, but she has not come back yet.
I told Tanya that I feel like Camilla was very nice, and you know, she also said she wanted to watch Grey's together.
She did.
She was just, but you know, sometimes you say things just to be nice.
It's summer. It still could happen.
Yeah. She was like, she was leaving, and she was like, "Well, I want to come back. I'd love to watch Grey's with you girls." And I was like, here's my number.
I'm like, no.
Yeah. She's like, give it to my publicist. Yeah. Bye.
Oh, see you later.
All right, wow. Turn.
I'm full. I feel full from that.
Mark?
No, I'm good. I think this has been an epic visit.
Yeah. Truly.
Okay, I have one more.
I'm so sorry.
One more. I do feel like we should let him get on with his life at some
point.
Okay,
but like just one more. It's my life too.
It is.
I'm on a press tour. I have places to go.
It is your life too.
What was your, if you could have chosen your death, like you're like, they're like, you're going to die. How would you like to die?
Right.
What would you have chosen?
And I can't choose the one that happened, right? Obviously, because then that'd be a bad. Yeah. I really like the way it happened, I have to say.
I do too.
Another death. Another death. I've never thought about this before.
Yeah, we asked the hard hitters here.
So, another death. I don't think I would want something long and terrible. You know, because that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think so. I think so. I might go along with something that's a little more sudden. You know what? If I have to choose, then I think it'd be have to something like really extreme. Like they were going because it takes place in Seattle, as you know.
Uh-huh.
Seattle Grace. Oh, it's not even called Seattle Grace, right? It's like
yeah, it's like
not even like eight names.
Grace
later.
Sloan Memorial.
But it was like something else. Not O'Malley Hospital. O'Malley Hospital. So I think. A visit to the zoo. George visited the zoo and he had like a little like Slurpee cup and dropped it into the like hippo cage because mm-hmm. hippos are really
dangerous,
awful.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, not in their world, but to us, they're awful. So, and he didn't want them to choke on the cup. So he tries to go down and get it and then he gets attacked and brutally mauled by a hippopotamus.
Wow, I'm way to go.
Glad they didn't let you choose. Yeah.
So wait, so back to the prosthetics. So it was you in the scene when you were drawing on her hand?
Yeah.
That was you?
Yeah.
See, I was assumed it was just kind of a stunt double because you had moved on.
No.
Because you were unrecognizable.
It was.
Wow.
And it was so amazing too because that 7 hours of work, they've sculpted these things and this artist, all these artists, all their hard work, you know, spending hours in these tiny little dots of makeup and making it. And then all of a sudden, Linda Klein, the amazing Linda Klein, who's still there, she's the scrub nurse. She's on it a lot. You'll
oh,
see
yeah.
her.
I feel like I know Linda. Yeah.
She, okay. So she's the, you know, the person who makes it all real or as real as they'll let her. I mean, she's amazing. And then so they, you know, wheel me in with the thing on. And then all of a sudden she takes a little ketchup thing of blood and just goes all over it. And I was just like, no, because you have to make it bloody and they weren't putting the blood on. So I was just like, anyway, it was just, you see, you know, but she had to make it look real.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's, and so it was like the combination of those two things. But I think, you know, but yeah, I love the what?
Sans.
Say that word.
Sans.
Oh, you can't say Sanzo because it's adding, right?
Dang it. Sans.
I love it. But anyway, so that was so that was me underneath it.
Wow. Yeah, I'm looking at the picture now. That was a lot.
Yeah, I remember. I had that image in my brain
too.
Forever. Yeah.
That's serious.
And I got to do I just played these two people who aged like 20 years or more older than I was. And so they did a lot of prosthetic work too, and it's so amazing to be able to sit there and watch, because you know how like you do your thing, you know, the costumes, everyone thing kind of comes together, you film it really quick and then you go, and to be able to sit there and watch them create this and you're just the model, and it's a really exciting.
Is this when you were like, J. Edgar Hoover?
Yeah. And then also for the two geniuses, for Picasso and for Einstein.
That's wow. Great. And also, by the way, you were great in 11/22/63.
Oh, thank you.
I really enjoyed you in that.
I loved doing that so much.
I'll bet. It's a great book and it was a great show.
I loved it. And just the people were so cool. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
He didn't end up well either.
Wow.
He got a poker to the temple.
Yikes.
And it killed him.
Yikes.
Yeah. But he wasn't a very nice guy. So.
We don't need him.
No.
Sans him.
Sans.
Okay, before you go, I just need you to pick a. I need you to pick a side, okay?
Sans George. Oh,
sans
I love it.
Before sans, you need to pick a side. Are you team Izzy and Denny or team Meredith and Derek? I just need you to choose one.
Well, I was just over at Ellen's house, so what am I going to choose?
Yes!
Becca wins.
Sorry.
Once again.
I feel personally attacked.
Now it's time. Now it's time for sans me, I guess. In this podcast.
Yeah, bye.
Bye, sons.
Well, if you listen to this podcast, then you've heard us talk about something that is essentially the first thing you see when you look at somebody, your face.
It's true.
Yeah. Yes, uh-huh. So everybody knows how jarring it can be when you have like one blemish or two or three or an entire face of blemishes. So I tend to have very like oily and kind of like blemish prone skin. So that's where the clear skin routine from BioClarity comes into play. But the best part is they have different types of routines for people that have like kind of normal and dry skin. They can use the essentials routine. And then for people that have sensitive and like redness prone skin, there's the ultra calming routine. I have a friend that like literally if she puts anything on her face, she turns red. So the ultra calming routine would be her go-to. So BioClarity is a three-step regimen that gets rid of breakouts, it clears and calms your skin, and it is packed full of detoxifying nutrients. It's also antioxidant and includes a super special ingredient only in BioClarity, Floralux from plants. So it's absolutely more than just a cleanser. It will give you clear and radiant skin without over-drying, and it also helps with redness, hyperpigmentation, and evens out skin tone and texture. Their products, this is my favorite part. Their products are 100% vegan, cruelty-free, paraben-free, sulfate-free, and artificial fragrance-free. It's hard to say, but that's key. Artificial fragrance-free. And there's a 100% risk-free money-back guarantee. That means they know you're going to love it and you're not going to send it back. So get healthier, more radiant skin by going to bioclarity.com. And right now, our listeners will save 40% off on their skincare routines, plus an additional 15% off of everything on their website. That's an incredible deal, FYI. But you need to enter our code Becca at checkout. So go to bioclarity.com and get 40% off of skincare routines, plus an additional 15% off of everything on their website when you use our promo code Becca at checkout. That is bioclarity.com.
Promo code
Becca.
Becca.
Oh, do you think we scared him?
For sure.
Like, I felt like we scared him a little bit, but he went with it.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be like telling other cast members to come in here.
No, but like, he'll have a story. Yourself. He'll have a story for his husband when he gets home tonight. Yeah. I think that'll be talked about at the dinner table tonight.
Out of all the press he did today, this one will probably stand out, don't you think?
Yeah, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, for sure.
His next dinner at Ellen's house, they'll be talking about us.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Becca and I had a mutual friend, Becca Tobin, who is on the Lady Gang, text us and just said, like, I saw Ellen Pompeo at the grocery store. Oh, my gosh. And I was like, why didn't you go say hi to her? But then I forget that normal people are normal and don't.
So if you saw her at the grocery store, you would lose your mind?
No. So we ran this scenario.
We ran the scenario through how okay. We would react.
All right. Yeah.
I would approach it more like, hey, oh my gosh, I'm such a fan of the show. Like, just going with, like, I'm a fan of the show. And then before I depart her, grab a selfie. Like, aloha.
So you'd keep it cool.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be that.
No.
No, it wouldn't
not
be
with
that.
Ellen.
No, it wouldn't be that.
I don't think she would respond well
it wouldn't
to that.
Be a
solid quote, man.
It wouldn't be that. No. Because I think it'd be creepy. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Okay. I'm wondering if you could actually do that.
I would try.
It's hard for you to keep it cool.
Yeah.
As we just saw for the past half an hour.
I feel like you saw her.
Yeah, but I never went up to her. I think if I saw her, if I were to even have the guts to go up to her, I would be like, I'm such a huge fan of the show. I don't even know what to say right now. I love you. And I don't even think I would try for a selfie.
No.
Because I'd be so nervous.
Another step, yeah.
You that's think it's too one. Much?
Maybe. Because you know that's the last thing she wants. She's at Whole Foods.
Right. I you know what's funny though? I'm pretty fearless, but I think I'd be a little intimidated to walk up to her.
Totally. Because that's one of those, if it goes bad, it's
traumatizing.
Yeah, traumatizing.
Yeah.
OR stat.
Yeah. So you might be right. I might just like admire from afar and see what she's putting in her cart and call it a day.
Tony's just picking like 4,000 like things of celery.
She's like in the baby diaper aisle, and I'm like, I need some more baby diapers.
What size does my niece wear?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, do you use that brand? Oh, is that a good one? I would like maybe make small talk about what she's buying at the grocery store. That might be good.
Are you from? I recognize you from somewhere.
Are you on an ABC show? Are you Meredith Grey? No.
All right, we're ready for some more, some emails.
Emails. All right, let's see what we got here. This is from E. I haven't seriously dated or been in a relationship in a very long time, but then I met the love of my life through a dating app. From the moment this guy messaged me, I had a strong gut. In less than a week, we've gone on 3 dates, but there was a dark cloud over me. I'm leaving for a 2-month backpacking trip at the end of June. From the time we've met to the time I leave is 3 weeks. I don't know what to do or say because I really like him, but I don't want to lose him. And is it too forward to say, wait for me?
3 weeks she's gone?
3 weeks. And she's calling him the love of her life. And we're not even at 3 weeks yet, which is interesting. She's going very fast here.
Yes. Very exciting that you met someone you really like, though. That's a win right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you are going on, it sounds like, a once-in-a-lifetime trip, and you've been planning this, I imagine, for a while. Mm-hmm. So I would say keep that mentality and go and be excited to come home to someone that you really like. I don't think he's going to go out dating people and like trying to find someone new in the next 2 or 3 weeks if he has the same connection with you.
But she's gone 2 months. I mean, she's gone till what?
Gone 2 months. Yeah. Oh, that's all I was
asking. They've been together 3 weeks. Or they will have been by that time.
And she's leaving for 2 months.
So she's gone to Labor Day, basically. She's gone for all of July and all of August.
I'm going to say I am sympathetic for these very heartfelt emotions that you're feeling for this man. However, you're about to go backpacking through Europe.
You might meet a European love of your life.
Yeah, when I was studying abroad, I met out with 3 guys in a night. So, like, fully was, like, making out with one, and then I would, like, turn around and make out with another.
Oh,
so,
wow, gosh, what is happening?
Tanya. Yeah, yeah. Mojo through the roof. And I have the receipts. I think Hillary Hood, I think Hillary saw me, or Sarah. But, yeah. So what I'm saying is when you study abroad, things happen and I just feel like you're going
to. So it's better for her to go single.
Yes.
Or at least with a single mentality to Europe than to think I've got this guy back there because it's only been 3 weeks.
For sure.
That's pretty good advice. I was more optimistic reading this because she's all in after a very short period of time, which is a little concerning. My feeling is if he feels the way you do, he's going to wait for you. You don't have to ask him to. If you guys are on the same page, he's going to wait around for you. And he's going to text you while you're there, and it's going to be sweet, and you guys can FaceTime and whatever. So I'm optimistic. I think this might be okay. But either way, I think you don't go with the mentality, I have a boyfriend. You go and see how it goes. Mm-hmm. Because in today's age, it's not like you're never going to speak to him.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be communication, and that will tell you a lot.
For sure.
Yeah.
And Melissa has a question for Tanya.
Yeah.
Tanya mentioned that she was kind of over Nick Jonas after the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
So whilst I'm aware from listening to the podcast that Nick doesn't get the beauty of Tanya-isms, I don't know what this means. It sounds like you wrote this. It never seems to have bothered Tanya much before. I just need to know what's the tea.
Oh, I just had this. I never realized that Nick was the one that like broke them up. And when I watched the documentary, I learned a lot of things that I didn't know before. I mean, my reaction was like silly and like, I obviously love, I'm obsessed with all of the Jonas Brothers. However, I do look at Nick a little bit differently after the documentary.
All right.
Yeah, Becca?
I didn't have like a strong opinion on them at first at all because I'm not like a Jonas Nader like you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't get like, I know that you've always said Nick was the most like shy or doesn't get you as much, but I couldn't tell if he was shy or just like.
That's just him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just him.
And Katie. I met up with a very good guy friend for happy hour. We've been friends for 8 years. We met in college. We traveled the world together and I was at his wedding. I'm very good friends with his wife. She even calls me his second wife. Ha ha ha. Yeah. At happy hour, he overindulged a bit and told me he thinks his wife is jealous of our friendship. I'm not really sure if I should talk to her about this or bring it up with him again when he's sober or ignore it altogether. I just feel weird that she may have some issue that she hasn't shared with me. If they'd actually talked about it, I feel like he'd scale back on hanging with me without her, right?
Yeah, this doesn't seem like it's your issue.
I think you ignore this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think unless it comes up again and he's not schmasty, wasted face.
Wait, what?
I think if he comes up again and he's not super wasted, then that's maybe a sign that maybe you should have a conversation.
Oh, he said it to her when he was wasted?
Yeah, he was,
imbibed.
He was schmasty,
when he had
wasted
imbibed.
Face.
Imbibed.
Oh. Yeah,
I feel like when you're married, the opposite sex best friend,
it goes away.
It's got a shelf life.
I'm with you on that.
I know people are going to email us and say, oh my gosh, that's not true. We've been married for 50 years and my husband's best friend has always been a part of our life. I think that's the exception to the rule.
Yeah. And I'm like kind of with you on that kind of stuff because even if I have to, so I'll send Mark stuff for work like any hour of the day. And I met your wife multiple times and I love her and I'm sure she does not care at all. Yeah. But I always feel weird if I send you a text after like 9 p.m. or something. Because you're married. Do you know what I mean? Like there's something a little bit like...
I appreciate that. You're welcome to send me texts 24/7. It's fine. And I appreciate getting them because it's usually really good content for the show. And I love that. That makes me... It relaxes me.
Yeah. Day, but so. There's something about like whereas if I was just going to be sending this to like Sisney or like... Do you know what I mean? Somebody right. else. It just doesn't feel as... I don't know. There's like something where I'm like, oh, a married man. It just seems like you shouldn't...
Well, like you respect...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if one of my best friends was a guy and he got married, that relationship would change for me personally.
Because that happened. One of your best friends uh-huh. is a guy yeah. and he got married yeah. and you've kind of backed off a bit.
Totally.
Out of respect. Yeah. I think that's normal and I think that's going to happen to you too, Katie, and I'm sorry, but it's okay. In the long run, it's fine.
Yeah. It'll be okay.
It's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
Okay. Okay. It's going to be okay. Okay. And if it's not?
It's not the end.
Because you are Son's problems.
You are Son's best friend.
Yeah. clearly, we are delirious.
This was a great show, you guys.
That was a great
show.
T.R. Knight, he's in the Hall of Fame now of Grey's Anatomy and Scrubbing in with yeah. Becca and Tanya.
I think we should have like a chart of all the Grey's Anatomy members that we want on the podcast. And then we just like... cross them off of the list as we get them. Kinda, yeah. Do you like that idea? I'll make it. I volunteer as tribute.
Okay. I'm not going to stop you.
So all I need from you guys is just names of the people that we want, and then I'll make like a little flow chart.
And
like
you'll put Joe and O'Malley on there so we can cross them off?
And glasses. Yeah. Yeah.
And glasses.
Yep. I'll put all the ones we've had on there.
And Janine.
Uh-huh. We'll put her on there. And then, yeah. So we'll cross them off. Actually, we won't cross
and
them
Ben
off.
Warren.
Do you know what I'll do? I'll put like a little... like a little heart or something over them.
Better than crossing
yeah,
them off.
I yeah. feel like you're
more positive.
Yeah. Like we'll put like a little like Grace Sloan like pin or something. I don't know. I'll figure it out, but it'll be like some sort of little thing that
trinket.
We can hang. Trinket. Yeah. And then like, so we can put it up if we have somebody come in and be like, look at this Hall of Fame you're joining.
They'll love it. All right.
This is where I take things too far.
But we're all going to appreciate it.
We already made T.R. Knight do an elevator scene with us.
That's great content, by the way.
He's probably still thinking, like, what did I just do?
Yeah.
Poor guy. Time of death, 1323.